Our English cousins across the pond are celebrating the birth of a new heir to the British throne. Prince William and Princess Kate welcome baby Prince George Alexander Louis into the world, where he became third in line, behind his father and grandfather. Should Prince William, Prince Charles, and great-grandmother Queen Elizabeth II predecease him, Prince George will become King of the United Kingdom. Most importantly, had Prince George been a girl, then she would also have been third in line to the British monarchy, regardless of whether she ever had a little brother, and ahead of her male uncle Prince Harry, who was second-born behind Dad Prince William. Historically, the British monarchy followed the Norman practice of male preference primogeniture, meaning that in the world of succession, the eldest son stood in line in front of any daughter, and any descendants of that son stood in line in front of her also. Queen Elizabeth II ascended to the throne after the death of her father, King George VI, only because she had no brothers. In 2011, British Parliament changed the centuries-old tradition to allow for equal primogeniture, meaning that the eldest child becomes the heir apparent, regardless of whether that child is a prince or a princess. The law of equal primogeniture is still hardly a model of egalitarianism, but it is slightly more modern than the law of male primogeniture. However, the law of male-only primogeniture remains in force for those aristocrats who are not headed for the throne, with harsh consequences. In England, titles and estates, known as peerages, that are held by the aristocracy descend through male heirs only. These peerages are held by dukes, marquesses, earls, viscounts, and barons. For example, Prince William is also Duke of Cambridge, Earl of Strathern, and Baron Carrickfergus. There are around 800 of these peerages still existing, and upon the holder's death, the title and the family residence will pass intact to the next male heir, who may be a remote stranger, or revert back to the throne. Soft-hearted aristocrats may not alter this outcome by will or other contract, though heirs are free to allow sisters to visit at any time. The sad result is that females born into aristocracy have no continuing interest in the wealth of their fathers, soon to be the wealth of their eldest brother. As any fan of Downton Abbey knows, woe be to the Earl of Grantham with only daughters under this system. There are currently proposals in the British Parliament to change this system, though no change is perfect. A change to equal primogeniture would still place the entirety of the estate in the hands of the eldest child, leaving the younger children out in the cold. Second-born daughters and sons would be in no better position than they were under male primogeniture. However, a system whereby estates would pass in equal shares to all children would in most events result in the sale and division of these great historical landmarks. In the United States, of course, we have no aristocracy, and our intestacy laws have no trace of the English common law of primogeniture. Individuals can, by will, leave their estates to whomever, in whatever shares, leaving out any estranged relatives they choose. When individuals die without a will, state law steps in with intestate succession, designed to be a best guess at what most folks would want to happen. In Illinois, a deceased estate would pass one half to spouse and one half to all children in equal shares, without regard to birth order or to gender. If there are no children, the spouse inherits all. If there's no spouse, the children inherit all in equal shares. And any titles that Dad has, whether that's Vice President of Marketing or King of the Saturday Barbecue, die with him. This is Christine Hurt.